Blog Talk Radio.
Listen all week to the Hair Radio Morning Show to hear details of the return of Academy Award nominee Miss Camille Friend. You guys know her from The Little Mermaid, Wakanda Forever, and so many amazing movies. Now, she's been selected to be our Afrolock Magazine Guest Editor of the Month. Take a listen and then visit AfrolockMagazine.com.
How to have your resume and portfolio. All of those things in that class are going to help you get to, I call it day one, where you're working in or on a movie or a television show. It's prepping you so when you go in that first day, you have a good insight on what you should be doing. And, you know, and you, it's all not foreign to you, because if you come the first day on set and it's foreign to you, you're like a deer in headlights and you're like, oh, no, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you could be making mistakes. But if you have the knowledge, when the first day that you come to set, it can be a beautiful day, and then you can grow as a person and evolve.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
And I'm starting out the Hair Radio Show with Gary Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Gary Hines.
People
Swiss cat with a new BM. If you mess with Brandon, I got to bruise your chin. I be with Puff, the girls be like, who's his friend? If I hit a chick once, she probably move me in. So you got to tell me right now, either you're with the cat who make the hits or the one that be the chips.
Slow down, make sure killing him.
But don't stop it. What's the use of buying a way if I'ma have to chop it? I used to love the lady till I learned the logic. She only mess with mates, so the money ain't no object. If it ain't Chris, he won't pop it. If it ain't platinum with ice, he won't rock it. If it don't cost 60, he don't drop it. If it don't come with TVs, he don't top it. Nigga, stop it.
A man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, Rugged is the new smooth.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Awakening your style. Well, I've got to say, it's not enough that being a creative is the way that you're going to just you know, break open the success, you know, truck, if you will. It doesn't work like that. For me, it is dynamic. Having style and keeping that on the front burner, and just really unleashing that special ability, that uncanny ability that you have to connect everybody and to just make everybody feel special with their own God-given talents. And we're just happy that you're able to do that and bring it to our incredible fans around the world, literally, on this broadcast. So this is just a good way to start. Again, thank you and good morning.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Kerry Hines.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Have you been feeling like you're getting the short end of the stick when it comes to reading stories about our community? Well, I have. And so I'm glad to tell you that you should be subscribing to AfroLock Magazine at AfroLockMagazine.com. AfroLock Magazine is a great new monthly publication that really does unlock the richness and complexity of Black culture truly from the only perspective that matters, ours. So, subscribe today at www.afrolockmagazine.com and be connected. AfroLock Magazine, we're making Black progress together.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us right now. He runs actually the Soul Snacks Cookie Company. His name is Ralph Roll. Now, Ralph, you are the man behind the Soul Snacks Cookie Company. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. My cookie company, I started many years ago, actually back in 1996, in my apartment in the Bronx. And the product came from original recipes that dated back almost to the turn of the century of 1900s from my grandmother. I just watched how she baked and my mother baked and just learned from there and then took that to the marketplace later on. That's the very, very, very condensed story. But I learned from my, watching my grandmother and my mother just be in the kitchen. Those are the origins of where we started.
Well, that is amazing. It really is. When I saw your name, I said, well, hold it. Is that, I guess you get a little bit of the folks, because your name, did I pronounce it correctly? Is it Roll?
Yeah, it's Roll. The E is silent.
It's Roll, okay. Well, don't people kind of make a connection between roll and cookie? Has that been brought to your attention? Probably more than once. So I just love it. So that's why I said, wow, how neat is that? Okay, so you got to tell us about the Soul Snacks cookies. You have got to tell everybody about it, because when I saw it, just caught my attention right away. So please share a little bit more about your amazing company.
Well, when we started the company in 1996, it was basically my girlfriend and I were trying to figure out a way to save money for the holidays.
Mm.
And in doing that, we had 36 friends and family. And that was the only way that we could, afford to actually give out gifts. So I suggested, why don't we make the cookies? Because I had made cookies for her when we had first started living together. And we gave the cookies out to everyone, and everyone got back in touch and said, wow, these are really good. You should think about selling them. And so we said, I thought about doing it before. This is a sign. So let's just follow the sign and start selling the product. So the very first place that I sold the product, I was playing drums at an open mic. At a place, as you know, Sylvia's restaurant in New York City, most people do.
Yeah.
And Sylvia's restaurant at the time was the proprietor for the evening. So I called her up and I said, Mel, I have an idea. I want to sell cookies and I'd like to do it there at the open mic. And she said, fine, do it. There's no problem. I brought the cookies in and we gave samples away and everyone bought the cookies. And there was a guy at the bar from a magazine called YSB Magazine, used to be owned by BET.
Okay.
And he liked the cookies.
Oh, I remember that magazine, yes.
Yeah, yes. So he said, tell me more about what you guys are doing. And I told him, well, I'm the drummer at the Apollo Theater. I'm on the television show Showtime at the Apollo. And my girlfriend is a Juilliard graduate, and we both came out of public housing, and we decided to start the business. And I thought we would only get a couple of responses from it, and I was totally wrong. We got hundreds of people buying the cookies, which made it very difficult for us to bake out of our small apartment oven. So I asked a friend of mine whose mom had a brownstone, and the bottom of the brownstone was vacant, and I asked Ms. Durant, is her name, if I could convert it into a kitchen, and I just knew she was going to say no. But she actually said yes.
Wow.
And that was our first baking facility. It had convection oven, three tub sink, ventilation, storage room, preparation room. And then we grew out of that. But in the interim of all of that, my girlfriend decided she didn't want to have anything to do with me or the cookies.
So
we went our separate ways, and I ran the company for a while by myself. But that was very difficult because I was at the time busy as a musician. So I stopped for a couple of years, and then I met my current wife, and we decided after our daughter was born that we were going to start the company back again, and we did it exactly the same way again, one rack at a time in an apartment. And my first client was Melba's restaurant.
Oh, Melba's restaurant, yes, in Harlem.
Yeah. So she was the one that brought us in, and she was the one that brought us in again as the first client. The second was Dougie Fresh at a restaurant.
Oh,
and then we kind of built it.
Wow.
We just built it from there.
Wow.
That's the beginnings, yeah.
Well, I'm also a cookie fiend. I absolutely love that. That's the other reason it caught my attention so much. Well, first of all, I want to take a moment, just if you would be kind enough, and then I want to jump back to the cookies. But can you tell us a little bit about your music career?
Oh, yeah. I started as a drummer at a very young age. I picked up drums from watching my brother. He had a drum set.
Wow.
And my mother allowed him to have drums in our small bedroom. And I just loved it because, for two reasons. There was a drum set in the middle of the room, and it gave me an excuse to be able to jump on the bed. But my brother, he said I could play the drums, and I'm left-handed. And he said, as long as you don't change the drums around, we're fine. So I'm a left-handed drummer that plays on a right-hand setup, and I play open-handed. And it's kind of worked in my favor moving forward because it allows me to do things with my left hand independently for drummers out there that some cross-hand drummers, they don't really do. So, but that's how it all started. And then my first professional gig, I was 19 years old, with a group called Musique. And they had a hit song called Push Push in the Bush.
Oh, who doesn't know that song?
That was the name of the song.
I remember it,
Yeah, I couldn't even tell my mother the name of the song. That was the name of the song. And from there, people, started passing my name around, and I was working in a local band, and I just kept practicing and learning and just trying to hone in on my craft and turn into home.
Well, you're very kind, and I'm going to just spell it out for folks. I mean, you have worked with the likes of Nile Rodgers and Chic, Sting, Bono, the one and only Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, the Notorious B.I.G., Queen Latifah, Erykah Badu, Chris Farley, D'Angelo, India Ari, and so many others. And you were part of the band, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, for It's the Showtime at the Apollo for about 15 seasons, that was.
Yeah.
So, and that's TV. That's the big time. So was this a big transition, getting over to do the cookies, or did that somehow in some strange way might have prepared you for entrepreneurial type success?
Well, being in the music business is not an easy journey for most. And you have to have a certain set of, just values in order to want to survive in the business. And there has to be a passion that you just are not willing to give up on for most. Most of the people that I'm involved with, we all share that same synergy as far as how we saw the business and how we survived the business and how we, just kept moving forward. I mean, all of my friends now started exactly the same way that I started, in a band, hustling in a car with your gear that was falling apart, trying to just make it with not that great of equipment. And then, if you believe it, you just keep practicing. I'm right now, I'm in a car with three of my closest friends.
Oh.
They all have the same story, you know.
Wow.
You know, they put their fingers and lives and just everything into, you know, their craft. You know, there's one gentleman that's sitting behind me. I saw him start in the business.
Wow.
And watched him grow to the point that he's worked on many television shows. The gentleman to my left, he's worked with probably more people in the business than all of us as a, not only a player, but an engineer. And the gentleman sitting in front of me is a Grammy Award winning a writer.
Well, hold up. We got to drop some names.
Okay.
Well, at least tell us their name so we can Google them.
Yes, yes. Behind me is Russell Graham. Next to me is Richard Hilton. In front of me is Jerry Barnes. And over on my left is the very cool driver that I don't know his name.
Well, listen, I have to shout all of you out because that is just incredible. And see, and I love that. It just reminds me of how much iron sharpens iron, as they say, and you travel in these circles of folks, you know, where you're all going somewhere and in your own directions as well, but you're still, you know, a concentrated effort and, you know, focused and all that kind of stuff. I think it's amazing. So I love hearing stuff like that. I really do. I've got to tell you, though. When I look back and I started thinking about the cookies, every time I think of, and I hate to say because I said, you probably are tired of being compared to, do you know who I'm going to mention?
Wally Anderson.
Maybe you're too young to know this guy, but he was a person who had an interesting story when I was growing up. And that's the only African-American man I can think of, you know, connected with cookies so much. And that is Famous. And so I grew up with that understanding. Did you, you know, have you been compared to him or have people brought him up to you or anything at all on that level?
I am constantly compared to Wally.
And here I go and ask you the same question.
but it's good company to be compared to because as far as the industry is concerned, there aren't a lot of prominent companies that have gotten to the level of a Famous. And I'm just very proud to be just mentioned in the same company. Now, what's odd is when I was in public school in the Bronx at PS 77, one of my childhood friends and classmates was a guy named Michael Amos. And Michael Amos used to say that his father owned a cookie company.
Wow.
So the only thing that I heard was cookies, you know, so do you have any? He said, no, my father lives in California. And later on when I heard about Famous Cookies, it was just, I mean, the Amos name is such a unique name. You know, you can only assume that that was his father. So, you know, Michael said, Wally Amos is my dad. And actually, Michael made it possible for me to meet Wally when I was he lives in Hawaii. And it was a very, very emotional moment for me because Wally just stands for so much. And just to meet him, and he came out and we talked, and, you know, he was like Yoda. He gave me so much wisdom about the business and, you know, just how to, what to look for, what to be careful of. And, you know, and it was great. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is that's just amazing. It really is. Now, speaking of your cookies, I want to get into some of the variety of delicious flavors and what they, you know, what kind of cookies you offer. Can you tell everybody a little bit about, because I'm just loving just the idea of Georgia oatmeal raisin, but please tell everybody about your cookies that you offer, some of the different ones.
Funny,
you got
it's
a lot.
Funny that you hit on those two recipes. Well, the main one is Georgia oatmeal raisin, which was one of the earliest recipes that came from my grandmother. That and the chocolate chip is basically how I started. I started making mostly chocolate chip and oatmeal raisin cookies from remembering the recipes from what my grandmother, my mother had made. And then just developing from that, we developed a sweet potato cookie, a lemon cookie, a cranberry oatmeal cookie, a chewy oatmeal raisin cookie. We have a French cocoa chocolate chip cookie now. What else do we have? We have a peanut butter cookie. I named the cookie after my grandmother. Her grandpa's chocolate peanut butter cookie. And I named the sweet potato after my Uncle Ralph, which he just passed away in 96, about 2 months ago. So you know, just being, having all
very
those
sorry,
things. My favorite, getting out of the car, my favorite is called lemon love cookie. I love the lemon cookie that we have. It's a great product. It's one of my favorites, and it goes so well with ice cream. I love the lemon love. Yeah. But we're always developing new flavors. We now have a full line of vegan gluten-free cookies as well.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I'm loving this. You've got to, you know, tell everybody how they can get their hands on these cookies.
Well, if you go to soulfest.com, you will see the full list of cookies you can order in three different sizes, 12, 24, and 32 cookies. And coming in the next week, there will be a full list of all 789 Walmart stores that we will be in.
That is amazing. We've got to repeat that. So your cookies will be found in about 700 or 800 Walmart stores. Are you serious? That's amazing. Congratulations.
And Kroger as well. Kroger just picked us up as well. And now we're looking at Target. You know.
Wow. Well, we are so proud. We are so proud.
I am so fortunate to have the opportunity to have my product in front of a large audience. You know,
absolutely.
What an amazing journey that I wouldn't trade for anything.
Well, we're going to keep our eyes on you, of course, and keep eating those cookies.
I got to make sure that you get some.
You do, because every day I would go down to my mailbox, and I said, I know that they're sending me some cookies. But I got to order. You know, that's my job, to order these cookies. So I'm loving what you're doing, and we support.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. Well, listen, here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, we are going to do some things, and we want to make sure that, we send you to soulsnacks.com. We want you guys to pick up these amazing cookies and join the rest of the world. We look like we're just getting on the bandwagon here. But all continued success to you and to your folks there in the car and everybody that you're traveling with and all of that. So thanks again for being with us on the Hair Radio Show. But, you know,
and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. You got it. All right, folks. Ralph Roll, what can we say? The Soul Snacks Cookie Company. Amazing. Just amazing. All right. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Famous I know are my aims that I wish I knew in my 20s. Depression comes from putting on the past, and anxiety grows when you're thinking about the future. Let go of those thoughts and live in the present.
This is our moment.
Ask yourself, what do I have to do today to make myself happy?
Let's go shopping.
Wake up every morning and be thrilled that you're here. Not every day is a perfect day.
It's been a really hard morning.
Remember what my mother used to say, take good days and bad days and treat them the same.
I hate to break it to you, but the truth is, how someone treats you is how they feel about you. So don't try to decode or make excuses. It's simple. If they act like they don't care, they don't care.
The funny thing about strong people is that they don't need you. They choose you. And if you ever take them for granted, they'll be content without you.
They will talk about you regardless. They are watching you regardless. So do you.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Dr. Praneet James, and Dr. James, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, thank you, Carrie, for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, you are a trichologist. Why don't you start, tell our listeners out there, what exactly is a trichologist?
Well, Carrie, that's a great question. Trichologist is someone who has studied the science of hair. So I work very closely with clients that are suffering from various hair and scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get the hair to a healthy state.
Okay, well, we're gonna really go in that, kind of talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. We have a lot of folks out there who are experiencing what appears to be like hair loss or experiencing mm-hmm. hair loss. We might as well just say it. And I think that we'll be able to kind of shed some light on some things and kind of be able to point them in the right direction. In terms of seeking treatment or seeking help. Now, listen, in full disclosure, Dr. James, I have to say to all of the fans of the Hair Radio Show and those who've already purchased How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, you are featured in this great book. So by yours truly. So I want to thank you for that and just point it out to everybody. That in addition to this wonderful opportunity we have to talk to you today, that they can always pick up the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book because you bring the hair talk and they can read it word for word in this book. So I just want to mention that, get that out of the way a bit. Now, Dr. James, you were just telling us in terms of what trichology is. Let's just go back a little bit. Tell the folks where you're from and where you operate from.
I am originally from Norfolk, Virginia. I currently stay about 30 minutes away from Norfolk in the beautiful city of Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I also operate my salon, natural hair salon and clinic, which is known as Fruit of the Spirit Hair Care Studio and Clinic.
All right. Well, we're going to be checking back with you on that throughout the broadcast. I'm going to remind all the folks out there, keep reminding everybody about this wonderful place that you have so when they're in the area, they can check it out. Now, let us delve into this wonderful world of trichology. You see a lot of folks who have, in their opinion, experienced hair loss. But let's flip it. What do you think, what is the most common type of issue that you treat there in your shop in the way of hair loss?
That's a great question, Carrie. There are so many different variations of different conditions that I treat. For the most part, I find that a lot of women are coming into the clinic with traction alopecia. Traction alopecia is just one of the different variations of alopecia. There are so many. But what traction alopecia is when the client has, or the actual stylist who rendered the service has caused trauma to the hair follicle. And in some instances, it can be reversed if it's caught, you know, early enough or they're seeing the early signs. However, if they wait too long, then the follicles can become dormant, whereas, you know, it's not reversible. So that is the that's the number one. And then, you know, I'm seeing androgenetic alopecia, whereas, you know, it's from the genetics. It's, in, you know, hereditary. And then I'm seeing a lot of seborrheic dermatitis, wherein that can also lead, you know, to hair loss or thinning around the hairline if it's not treated. So again, there's so many different variations, but pretty much those are the number one types that I'm seeing.
Okay, well, in talking about it a bit, especially the traction alopecia, is that the one that's identified most with like the tight braids and the pulling from the scalp for the tight ponytail type things? Tell us a little bit. What are some of in your experience, some of the common styles that seem to contribute to traction alopecia or could lead to it?
The type of styling that could lead to traction alopecia, of course, is the weaving, the tight braids, chemical damage, you know, overprocessing of chemical relaxers, which can also cause scarring alopecia, wherein, you know, in most instances the hair will not grow back. But for the most part, it's the tight braids, glue, which is definitely a no-no. I wouldn't advise anyone to do the glue ends, even with the so-called protective methods or taking precautionary measures. You still can cause, you know, damage to the follicle itself.
Mm.
So those are pretty much the contributing factors.
Those are okay. Now, I've heard a lot of folks say that they feel like it, that there's nothing they can do. You know, and I'm understanding that there are some treatments. You yourself just mentioned that if, in some cases, if it's caught early, it can possibly be reversed. What can someone do? What are the steps they should take in terms of first identifying this, and then what possibly could they do to minimize this or to reverse this, if you will?
They need to see a trichologist right away when they're experiencing the early signs. Like, say, for instance, they're experiencing excessive hair breakage, or they had a chemical service rendered and they, you know, a bald spot occurs, or they're undergoing a tremendous amount of stress, which is also which can also lead to alopecia areata, which I didn't tap or touch on.
Right.
Alopecia areata can be caused by traumatic or chronic stress. Traumatic, of course, is something that happens unexpected, death in the family, loss of job, et cetera, that can contribute to traumatic stress, which, of course, can cause alopecia areata, wherein they may experience one mosaic circular spot in the head. If it goes untreated, then, of course, it spreads, you know, over the head, and it can go into alopecia totalis, where they lose all of the hair and eyebrows, et cetera. And then if it goes untreated, then it can actually go into alopecia universalis, wherein they lose all body hair. Of course, that is an autoimmune type issue,
right.
which of course can be targeted with health as well.
Now, the areata, isn't that the one that can possibly, you know, your hair can start to grow back after, you know, maybe the stress is, you know, alleviated in some way? Is that possible?
Absolutely. Yes. It normally takes about 3 to 6 months. You know, if the hair is going to grow back, that's the norm, anywhere between 3 to 6 months with treatments.
But that is also
a major. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening to you. Go right ahead.
No, I was just saying that that is definitely another major issue that comes into the clinic, the alopecia areata.
Wow. Now, in your clinic, do you treat majority women or men, or is it about even? Do you find that these types of issues are about even?
I would say men are about 20 years ahead in the hair loss industry, whether, you know, they're receiving hair replacement treatments, et cetera. But a lot of women are coming out more so now than ever before. But to answer your question, Carrie, I treat approximately about 70% women and 30% men or males.
But tell us a
males
bit
are very
about
secretive.
Mm-hmm.
Males are very secretive. You know, they're not like us women, wherein we, you know, we like to talk about it in a group, et cetera. They, you know, the males, they like to be very, this is a very private issue for them, and they don't really have a support group like the women, you know, do. But for the most part, like I said, I do treat both.
Okay, because I kind of can understand what you mean, because if I could just get away, throw a wig on, and nobody would know it's a wig, I'm out the door, I'm stepping on. And that's kind of how I, you know. So in terms of treatment, yeah, and you know, being a guy, I guess, you know, that's very possible where we would look at it differently. But I do want to ask about that. You said that, you know, with the men were 20 years ahead. What exactly did you mean by that? I'm not sure if I was clear on that.
Well, with the males, you know, with the hair replacement, like Hair Club for men and women, you know, et cetera, they actually, you know, took part in the hair replacement units prior to the women. They do like the toupees and the, you know, the hair.
Right.
Of course, they've got a little bit more modern today, but they were actually the ones that started, you know, wearing the hair replacement units or pieces, which is something also that I offer to as a solution to take care of my patients or clients that are suffering from hair loss, to take care of their appearance while they're in the midst of treatment.
Okay. Do they still call it like the prosthesis items and all of that?
Yes. Yes, cranial prosthesis or prosthetics, yes.
Okay, wow. This is a vast subject. First of all, folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and today's guest is renowned trichologist, Dr. Pranique James. And I'm so excited to have her with us. And you've been a longtime supporter of the Hair Radio Show, as we pointed out earlier. And we're just very excited to have you with us. And you are the go-to person. You are the go-to trichologist. And just a wonderful stylist. Now, you're a natural hair stylist. So you run the whole gamut. Tell our listeners some of the other things that you do at your salon, some of the other services, I should say.
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, of course, I am the trichologist, but also I am the I'm an all natural focused stylist, meaning that we do not render chemicals within the salon, with the exception of color. But as for relaxers or permanent waving, et cetera, we do not render those type of services. However, whether the client is wanting to wear the hair kinky, coily, or smooth, frizz-free, flowing hair, we are able to achieve those options with chemical-free solutions. So we do provide alternatives to our clients to, of course, maintain the optimal health of the hair.
Okay. And speaking of optimal health of the hair, do you find that a lot of the clients nowadays are coming in with their whole attitude is about what can they do to keep their hair healthy or to get their hair healthy, and then what steps they need to do to keep their hair healthy? And maybe seeing you as that great first step, but what have you noticed at the salon?
Absolutely. A lot of the consumers are coming in, especially naturalists. They're coming in. They're wanting to know what products they can use on their hair, what supplements they can take to maintain healthy hair, et cetera. My approach is a multi-therapy approach. I work inside out. So healthy hair starts within, and it works its way out. So a lot of times clients that are coming in have a lot of nutritional deficiencies, which, of course, reflect in the hair. So let's say, for instance, someone comes in, they have an issue in their, you know, of course, our body, we have 10 different body systems. So a lot of times the women that are coming in, their issues are with their glandular system. That's the system that houses our adrenal glands. That's the system that helps us to deal with stress, menopausal issues, thyroid issues. All of that stems from that particular body system. So, again, back to health, a lot of times it's just a matter of being placed on a customized regimen in order to, you know, achieve the optimum health of the hair. Then, of course, the products, using the correct products in the hair. A lot of times they're using this product, they're using that, and they're actually product junkies. At my salon, I require, before any services are rendered, I do require a consultation to be rendered. It's not a 10-minute or 5-minute consultation. It's actually 45 minutes to an hour where I meet one-on-one with the potential consumer that comes in. I meet with them one-on-one. We address the goals that they desire for their hair. And this is just more so a basic consultation targeting healthy hair and natural hair. So we discuss their goals that they desire for their hair. Then I conduct a basic hair and scalp analysis to determine how those goals will be achieved. Then I identify their curl type, which is very important in determining what products will work best on their hair to enhance their curl pattern. So, again, they're not becoming a product junkie or, of course, we can better suit their needs. Then we'll address the various styling options only based or based upon the condition of their hair, the looks they're opting for, and I also go over an at-home maintenance regimen to follow. So a lot of times, you know, whether the client wants to be salon dependent or they want to take care of their hair at home, my right. number one goal is to make sure that they understand how to maintain the health of the hair. So if I have someone come, you know, a naturalist that comes in where they just want to know what type of products to use in their hair, I don't just sell them the products. I make sure that we do a tutorial. They know step one, step two, step three. I write them out a customized prescription on how to use the products. A lot of times, you know, you have to mix parts, et cetera, and the regimen is specifically designed for the individual. There is no one particular treatment or product that's going to work 100% across the board for each client. So that's why I recommend the consultation. So therefore, everybody's on the same page, and we're moving in, you know, in the right direction.
What you say about the products? I mean, that just seems to be key. When we look at television, we are, you know, constantly seeing so many different new items on the market to treat hair loss. What's your take on it? And why do we see so much and nothing seems to really be effective in terms of what we see on TV?
Of course, you know, every time you turn around, like you said, you're seeing this product come out, this product, et cetera. Again, back to knowing exactly what the issues are, we're pretty much determine what is needed for that particular individual. Like I said, there is no one-size-fits-all.
No, there isn't.
I highly recommend, you know, them coming in if they're not in my area, if they're having hair loss issues, et cetera, they need to seek a trichologist. So therefore, they know exactly what the issue is versus treating the symptom. They can get to the source of what's going on. Because if they don't target this, what's going on, the actual problem itself at hand, then they're going to spin their wheels. If this product doesn't work, let me try this. Somebody said this is working and nothing is working. So they're wasting their money and their time versus just, you know, going to seek professional consultation, and again, determining what's going to work best for them as an individual.
Wow. Well, folks, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I want to take a moment to just thank Dr. Praneet James for being with us today. Dr. James, again, welcome to Hair Radio, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm really enjoying myself talking about what I love.
Well,
I can actually
so
go on and on and on. I don't think you have enough time
well,
for me
okay.
today.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We've got 3 full hours here at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, wow.
And if you need more, we'll look into that.
Okay.
Speaking of which, actually, you bring up a very good point, because even following this interview today, folks can still read a whole lot more of what you have to say about hair care in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. So I'm very excited because you were kind enough to make a contribution to us and in the way of some wonderful hair ideas and some, you know, hair loss prevention ideas and so forth. And we really, really appreciate that. In fact, you mentioned something, and maybe you can help us to get to understand this, those of us who are novices and we're not stylists, but what exactly in terms of not identifying the curl pattern, but the classification, the 4C, the this, the that, what does that mean? You know what
okay.
I mean in terms of, yeah, the different classes. Is there a way that you can explain that so we at least have some kind of idea and we can take it from there?
Oh, absolutely. For the most part, the curl classifications or curl types, again, are determined, or the products that you use in your hair are determined by your curl type or your curl classification. And also how much heat is used on the hair, et cetera. You'll find that your looser curl pattern or wavy patterns will fall below the 3 or the earlier 3, 2, and 1 curl types. You'll find that your tighter curl types will be in the 4 category. You have your 4A, which is more so prone to frizz. That's more of a coily, curly type curl pattern. And then, of course, you have your your 4B, and then, of course, your 4C, which will be more your zigzag, which is the tightest on the charting. So, again, knowing your curl type will definitely take a lot of guesswork out of what products work best on your hair, what shampoos and conditioners, styling aids, all of that. And speaking of shampoos and conditioners, let me kind of tap on that as well.
Sure.
I find that I travel all over the country and do the different natural hair shows, and a lot of times I'm finding that the naturalistas, they're quick to pick up the styling product but forget all about the foundation, all right? The foundation definitely has to be addressed properly prior to coming in with styling aids. Of course, that has a lot to deal with your porosity and your elasticity, and just to kind of tap on that, that means a lot as well when you're determining what products work in your hair, what you need to use for your hair, et cetera. The porosity is the ability for the hair to hold, absorb moisture or product. And then, of course, the elasticity is the ability for the hair to stretch and return to its natural state without popping or shedding. So it's good to actually have those two tests rendered as well before you actually determine what products will work best in your hair. And that should be something addressed in a consultation when you go visit your local stylist, or you're considering going natural, or you're completely natural. Now back to the foundational products. Your foundational products should always consist of a clarifying shampoo. I hear a lot about co-washing, and I'll get to that in a moment.
Right, yes.
You should always have a clarifying shampoo, and I think the fear with a lot of the consumers that are natural, they don't want to properly cleanse their hair or completely submerge their hair in shampoo because they are afraid of the hair drying out or becoming really
right.
tangly, et cetera. But if you have the proper balanced regimen, meaning that your hair, once you finish styling your hair or applying your styling products, your hair should be at a pH balance of 4.5 to 5.5. The scale runs from 1 to 14, and each product that you apply to your hair has a certain pH level. If you don't know it, know what the pH of each product you're using in your hair and how to determine that. You're going to be spinning your wheels. So back to your shampoo, you should always come in with a clarifying shampoo first. Clarifying shampoos will come in and remove any and everything that has deposited onto the hair shaft, oils, dirt, debris, minerals, some sweat. That deposit on the shaft make the hair very dry and brittle. Medications, if they, you know, go swimming, it takes everything out. And then your second shampoo should be determined upon your finished look. So if they're wanting to wear their hair curly or coily, they should be using a moisturizing shampoo that's geared towards texture. If they're wanting to smooth their hair, do a steam press or a silk press, then they need to be using a smoothing shampoo that's also a moisturizing shampoo designed for smoothing the hair, because those type of shampoos contain kyanic polymers. Kyanic polymers is a smoothing complex that prepares the hair for heat. It actually smooths the cuticle layer, so it makes the hair, it makes it more easier for the stylist or the consumer to actually go in with heat and smooth the hair. If they're using a shampoo that's geared towards curly, they're going to find that their silk press is not going to last as long. It's going to be a little bit more challenging to go in and smooth the hair. And then, of course, it doesn't have the heat protectants or the humidity blockers built in. And then they should be rotating their conditioning regimen. The hair is just like the body, so if they constantly use the same conditioners, eventually the hair will not respond. And this is just general. And once you build that foundation coming in with the proper shampoo and conditioning regimen, now, of course, your shampoos and conditioners should be sulfate-free. A lot of times, that's general. However, if they're experiencing any type of hair or scalp disorders, dry scalp, silverhead dermatitis, eczema, psoriasis, they shouldn't be using any shampoos that contain SLS, which is sodium lauryl sulfate. And you'll find that a lot of the shampoos that state they're sulfate-free, they'll still have the SLS built in, which is very mild, a milder form of sulfate. And what sulfate is just like you use a dish detergent in your hair. Sulfate
That's
actually
right.
goes in and it strips the hair, makes the hair very dry. But as for the conditioners, again, rotating the conditioners, they should be using a protein and moisturizing treatment. However, too much protein can snap the hair, too little can as well, so they do want to make sure that both contents are properly balanced, and any other specifics that they may need. If they're suffering from hair loss, then, of course, there are treatment shampoos that are on the market that will cater to the hair loss. If their hair is very dry or porous, et cetera. Go ahead, Carrie. I'm sorry.
And no, I just wanted to jump in. No, I love this. I wanted to just say it seems to me that a lot of this would there's no way that just a person on the street would kind of know these things. So how do they find a trichologist? I mean, does every hairstylist know all of this, or do you work with their stylist? What's the role of the trichologist in terms of how do you connect with the person? How does the person connect with you? How do they find you? And then what would you suggest that they do to even connect with a trichologist to begin with? Because it seems to me that they need to work with, that they have to, it's an education process as well, it sounds like to me.
Oh, absolutely. It's tons of education. It's ongoing. The industry is constantly changing, just what hair in general, it constantly changes. But my advice for someone that is looking to become a trichologist, I would recommend them.
Oh, no, I'm looking to connect. To connect with one.
Misunderstood your question. Okay. Internet searching, like in my area, if they type in trichologist, I pop up. I'm the only trichologist within, the Hampton Roads area. The closest near me is in the DMV, which is in your northern Virginia area. Trichologists are very rare. I am creating a program where I'm working with stylists or cosmetologists, providing them with a referral fee for referring to clients that are suffering from hair loss, and then I can write out a prescription on, what they need to do. If they, when they return back to their stylist on, what products their stylist need to use, et cetera, or they may come once a month to me and still continue their service with their stylist, et cetera.
So it's like a team approach.
Absolutely. It has to be a team approach. Once they come and have treatments done, they don't want to return to what they were previously doing because they're just, defeating the purpose. But like I said, for the most part, is a, an inner issue working inside out. So for the most part, if they are placed on the proper regimen health-wise as for, nutritional supplements, then, of course, that will help, the outer. So that's pretty much what, the steps we take. And then, of course, we treat topically and we come in with electrotherapy treatments. All of that is inclusive in, coming to a trichologist. Hopefully I'm answering your question and not going around this.
No, I think you're doing a great job.
Okay.
And I'm listening to every word you say. My other question, I was just thinking as you were explaining that, what about the cost? Now, this seems to me that this is beyond, I call it para hair. This is beyond the typical styling services type thing in general. Of course, it can be part of it, as you explained earlier. But is this something that quite possibly insurance might cover? Is that even possible in some cases? Or is this – because it sounds so medical and so – it just sounds very like a different level beyond – styling services that you generally find with a hairstylist or a barber?
That is a great question. Still to date, the insurance companies do not cover the trichology treatments. However, they do cover hair replacement. It has to be pre-approved by their insurance company, and it will fall in the category of cranial prosthetics as for them, as providing them with a solution, to take care of their appearance. But still to date, they don't cover trichology, the trichology aspect of it, which is sad. But we're working towards that at this point, and in the near future, it should, come into effect.
And one of the biggest questions that I should have asked you kind of at the top, and you kind of explained a whole lot since then, which has been fantastic, but clearly the difference between a dermatologist and a trichologist.
Well, again, that's another great question, Carrie. You have so many great questions. The difference, and that's a very important question. The difference between a trichologist and a dermatologist. A dermatologist is someone who more so specializes in derma or skin. However, they have been trying to, you know, work with hair slightly. But when a consumer goes to a dermatologist and they say, okay, I have this issue with my scalp, et cetera, the dermatologist is only going to treat the symptom, meaning they're going to maybe suggest cortisone injections or some type of topical solution, et cetera, which, of course, only pacifies the problem. On the other hand, or causes some other side effect. On the other hand, when a consumer comes to a trichologist, we take a multi-therapy approach to overall hair health, meaning that we're going to, you know, get to the source of what's going on to provide more of a permanent solution versus something that's, you know, only going to be semi-permanent or temporary.
Okay.
Actually.
Got it.
They go to a dermatologist and, you know, they provide them with a topical solution, a lot of times it throws the pH of the hair and the scalp off, dries the hair out severely. So they may take care of one issue, you know, temporarily, but it causes another issue, you know, severe hair breakage, again, throwing the balance of the hair off. The hair is very porous. So I'm not saying that the dermatology solutions do not work, but if someone comes to me that has been to a dermatologist, I don't talk against the dermatologist or just pretty much, you know, tell them to put, you know, put the product.
You don't say don't go back to that one.
Right.
Okay.
What we do is we can take what they have and add to it to make sure that the hair is balanced, because the ultimate goal is when that hair is growing in, we don't want it to reverse, we don't want it to snap back off. So if the hair is growing into a unhealthy environment, if it's very dry, you know, growing into a dry environment, it you know, especially with the tighter curl patterns in the four categories we mentioned earlier, you'll find that the hair started snapping back off, so they started going, you know, backwards, and they'll end up with the same issues.
Well, I have to say, folks, Dr. James, you are just chock full of information. We're going to have you back often because we'd love to have you because our listeners have a lot of questions. Hair loss is a huge topic. It's a big discussion, and today was a great introduction to it. But we need to have you back to break it all the way down.
Absolutely.
So that
I'd love
way,
to do
yes.
that.
Well, we'd love to have you. Now, before we go, let me just have the folks out there know how to reach you again. Dr. James, how would they find you? Where would they find you? How would they find you and all of that? Please share that with our listeners.
Great. Thank you, Carrie. They can find me, or they can actually go to my website, which is Fruit of the Spirit Salons with an S .com. They can actually schedule an appointment online, or if they have any questions, they can send those questions over. I'm also on Facebook under Premeek, P-R-E-N as in Nancy, I-K, James. Instagram, Fruit of the Spirit Salons. And also Twitter. So all the social media sites they can reach me on. Or they can call me, area code 757-452-0170. And as I mentioned, the name of the salon is Fruit of the Spirit Hair Care Studio and Clinic, and we're located in the beautiful city of Virginia Beach, Virginia. So I look forward to hearing from the listeners soon.
Absolutely. And folks out there, when you do contact Dr. James, please let her know that you heard about her right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's important. So Dr. James, okay, thank you. Any last thoughts that you want to share, things that you want to drive home, a point you want to drive home with everyone before we say goodbye today?
Sure. I wanted to add one of my websites as for the health of the hair. I do have another website and a company that I'm affiliated with. It's called www.healthyhair.idlife.com, wherein the listeners can go on my website and take a free HIPAA-compliant health assessment where it will identify all of their nutritional needs. Because, of course, our body, we're individuals, and, of course, our body needs individualized nutrition. So visit my website, fill out the HIPAA-compliant health assessment. It'll print them out. A comprehensive report is free of charge, so they can kind of get an idea of what their body needs nutritional-wise. And to end this interview, I would like to tell the listening audience or let them know that healthy hair begins with a healthy start.
Well, I believe that ID Life, I've seen them in action. Outstanding. Thank you for mentioning that. Dr. Pradeep James, thank you. Yes, well, thank you for being with us. And just want to shout out to all the folks that you're connected with and your mother, Ed, just everybody. Please, from the Hair Radio Show, pass along our well wishes and all of that. You have a great day.
I will do. Thank you so much, Carrie, for having me.
All right. Well, folks, listen, there's a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Stay with us.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It's Friday, August 18, 2023. I'm Carrie Hines. It's about a little before quarter after 7 New York time, 6:12 if you're out in the Central Time Zone, and just kind of enjoying the broadcast so very much today. Let me just jump on in with Nicole Marie. You guys know her. She's Queen of the Mornings out in Water Valley, MS.
Good morning.
Yes.
Happy mid-show.
GM.
Happy Friday.
Yes. All the above, right?
All the above.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. I'm
another
super
beautiful
excited.
Day. So am
yeah,
I.
I really love Fridays here on the broadcast. That's not just something that we say we call radio talk. So it's not just radio talk. It really is my favorite day of the broadcast week.
Yes.
And coming up, I just want to say it real
Monday,
quick.
Band Day Friday.
We're going in.
Oh, yeah.
We have Michael B. Wessis Hopkins. You guys know him in about 15 minutes or so. Michael Hopkins, who comes to us from down in Spotsylvania, Virginia. We're going to talk to him about his new thing on the show. And we really want to find out because he's going into season 3. He's wrapping up season 2 this month. So we'll talk to him about that again. Also, coming up in the next half hour to the next, especially in our third hour, you know, we always do Spotlight. Well, in our Fan Day special, we've got Ask a Hairstylist live. Ask a Hairstylist is
awesome.
On the way, spotlighting in the next hour. Ms. Keisha McAllister, who is standing by, and let's just say hi this morning. Keisha McAllister,
Keisha
McAllister is standing by. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, there you are. Okay, GM. Okay. Keisha, we are always happy to have you on the show. We've not really done Ask a Hairstylist Live, so that's coming in the next hour. So are you ready to get the questions from our fans?
Let's go.
All right. Keisha, thank you so much. Okay, more with Keisha McAllister coming up. You guys know she's super early out there. Yes. You know, she's 3,000 miles away out in Fairfield, California. That's up north. So we'll be checking in with her with some live questions and things from our from our fans of the broadcast. So can't wait for Ask a Hairstylist Live coming up in the next hour. And just some more fan talk on Saturday, Friday. So, yeah, so Nicole Marie, I have to say, what in the world, how is the WX, we call that the weather, how's the weather going on down in Water Valley? Is it clearing up down there?
It is nice and sunny. It's the humidity has died down a little bit, so it's actually pretty nice right now. It's still very warm now.
Yeah.
You know, we go for a little ways on into September, but it's nice.
Okay.
Very
wow.
nice.
Yeah.
And how's the weather there?
It has been superhuman up here in New York. I'm in Brooklyn.
I guess
he's
been it to you then.
I hate that humidity. Ooh, goodness. And then Keisha, she was saying yesterday, we're going to ask her again in the next hour, but she was talking about it's actually dry where she is out in California.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, it's always a little drier up north there. So listen, I have to say we've got some updates. Remember, September 1st is the release date.
That's it.
September 1st.
And I can't wait.
Now we're supposed to get into
The magazine itself, but I'm always just waiting for that beautiful cover. So.
Oh,
I'm excited.
I think it's the best cover ever. I do.
Oh,
I think it's a beautiful cover. I think that folks are not quite sure what to expect from us. I think we've given them a myriad types of covers for AfroLock magazine. And so I think that they just don't know what to expect, what to anticipate from our creative hands.
Hey, well, that's
and
all right. Everybody on the edge of their seat waiting.
Yes, they are. I've heard from a lot of the folks with subscriptions. It's not too late if you don't have one. Simply go to afrolockmagazine.com. Again, it's spelled AFROLOCK, which is really, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of folks, when you talk about locks and your hair or locked hair, it's like LOC. You see mostly the folks spell it that way. Some spell it LOC,
right.
But mostly it's LOC.
Right.
And for us, we didn't want to confuse it out there because our LOCK, Afro Lock, is like a door lock. So it's a lock on black culture. So that's what ours really signifies. So it's a little bit of a double entendre. It's a little bit of a secondary meaning. And that's sure hair, locked hair, of course, as well. So all the above. So listen, yes, Nicole Marie, we are just killing it and getting ready for the release. Everybody's talking about it. We will be covering that big story. We'll probably do it on the day. We were thinking we were going to cover the mixed textured hair today, but we'll do it on Tuesday's show. Up next week,
okay.
I think it'll be great over the weekend. We'll get
so
it together
well.
With everybody. Yeah, so the mixed texture hair, this is where you may have mixed races, and they've come out literally with, it's always been around, but now it's the thing for marketing and stuff mainly. So we'll talk a little bit about all that. And the big question, does Carapy work with all of that? And we'll answer that question for you. Yes, so real good stuff. We'll also talk about distributors and getting back into our distribution business, whole jumping in. So we've got a lot for VTR distributors and royalty distribution. So real happy about that. Yes, and I'm really excited. So really good stuff.
Oh, my.
So,
always good stuff, Carrie. Always.
I think so, too. Now, hey, I don't know if you've been following the story, but I have. And it's the one about the football player from the Blind Side movie.
Michael Orr.
Sorry, but this is a juicy story for me. I don't mean to laugh or make light of whatever he's going through, but it just, oh, my gosh, it is a juicy, entertainment-based story. You've got wealth, you've got sports, you've got all kind of stuff tossed in. And so the latest on this, now remember, guys, the Blind Side movie, which was these wealthy Caucasian the couple or family taking in this challenged young African American man, and he's gone on to be a super professional football player. So as it turns out, we are all, according to the movie, under the impression that he was adopted by his family,
Right.
As it
That's what everybody
out,
thought.
Yeah. So years later, now remember, I don't even know when the movie came out, but it was a while ago. And
it was years ago.
Right. Now we're just finding out that the actual football player, the real life guy, said that, is it Michael Orr?
Michael Orr, yes.
He said, Michael Orr, okay, he said that he was not adopted. Everybody's
right.
jaw just opened up. What?
Like,
all
where'd
the
that
time
come from? Yeah.
And why did we not know this? That's my big question. Why did we
wow.
not know this? So he says he was not adopted, and as it turns out, he's suing those to the couple,
yes.
Saying that they owe him a lot of money because they
mm-hmm.
kind of tricked him or coerced him into what's called a conservatorship, which is usually when you take over someone's finances because there's usually some kind of incapacitation on their part.
Right.
So that's what we just found out. Apparently, that's what the couple had him to do, and that's what is alleged here. And so that's what actually happened. I mean, the couple did acknowledge that they had him with a conservatorship. And so the latest update, I don't know if you heard this, Nicole Marie, but the couple has, they have agreed to end this conservatorship. Now,
awesome.
What do you say about this story?
Wow. Well, I hope they just didn't decide to end the conservatorship thinking everything would just die down and go away, because I'm sure there's going to be more to it. But it's just a very sad situation. You know, obviously he feels like he was taken advantage of and painted in a more negative light. And then they definitely benefited from him and his life story, which was not, you know, situation. So I can
definitely understand
why he would be upset. And now, you know, obviously he's a grown man and able to take action. So I know there will be
action.
More to come. Yes, he definitely is
come.
Taking action. As he should.
As he should. Well, Nicole Marie, I just want to remind everybody, I mean, you usually jump in mid-show with some great inspirational hope and talk. And today is no different. We want to, we're going to have you to share with us all about Patrick Lindsay's book and tell everybody, remind everybody what Hope of the Day is all about. Take it away.
I certainly will. Thank you, Carrie. Well, hope is the belief that our future can be better than our past. So no matter what each and every one of us has gone through, maybe currently going through, there's always that positive expectation that change can and will occur in our lives for the better. So hope is so important every single day to hold on to it because it gives our lives meaning. So I want to share the hope of the day for all of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this moment is courtesy of the book called High Hopes by Patrick Lindsay. So the hope for this Friday is, use your tiredness. Counterintuitive, but it works in practice. Try working when you're really weary. If you're a morning person, challenge problems at the end of your day. Your normal preconceptions will be less rigid, and often your brain will be more creative. So what do you think about that, Carrie?
I'm going to have to tell Patrick Lindsay, I don't know about that. But work when you're weary. Well, I will say this to Patrick's credit in High Hopes, and that is that working when you're weary, I pretty much work when I'm weary around the clock. I'm a fan of working when you're weary. I work, I'm taking it literally, too. I work around the clock all day.
Yes,
and
you do.
Sometimes I will literally work until I'm about to fall off and I start to doze out. I'm like, okay, I just
right.
want to get this done. And sometimes, and it feels good, but others, I'm like, okay, you know, you got to have to take a break.
Exactly.
But I find it interesting. I've never heard that, work when you're weary. I want to remember that.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
Neither have I.
Work
and I can
when
see
you're
possibly
weary.
If you're working on a project, you have deadlines to meet and you're working, but on a normal basis, I don't know about working weary. You know.
Well, I think it's interesting. Let's get Michael Hopkins. Yeah, let's work in Michael, Brother Michael Hopkins from the Vet Talk Radio Show. Michael Hopkins, you're on with Nicole Marie, Terry Hines. You're speaking to the globe and the world. You heard that High Hopes book, you know, Working When You're Weary. Have you ever heard of anything like that before? Michael Hopkins, VTR host.
Well, sure. Considering I was in the United States Army, we used to do that all the time. That's nothing new.
Well put.
Yep. That is nothing new, working when we're weary. We do it
wow.
all the time in the military.
They're all the time, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they're like, you don't get the luxury of putting your feet up. Forget that.
Exactly.
You got to
keep
on moving.
Yeah.
Wow.
You are 24/7.
Wow.
And Patrick also said, he says your brain will be more creative. But for me, if I'm tired, I don't feel more creative.
I agree with that.
I have to rest and kind of rejuvenate, and then I can come back and I feel more creative. So I don't necessarily agree with that part, at least for myself.
Very much.
I don't feel more creative.
I mean, it just depends on how you look at it, I guess. But, yeah, sometimes I'll feel badly if I get up and walk away. But working when you're weary, he may not mean what, you know, my version of working when you're weary and other people's working when you're weary, two different things.
Different.
My working
right.
when you're weary, yeah, I'm talking working. We're throwing down on some work all
right,
day.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and that's what you do every day, Gary.
Yeah,
but
that's
I think
do.
It will just vary person to person. And exactly what it is that
exactly.
you're doing as well.
Yeah,
so.
I agree with that certain kind of the way that you look at it. Very good, Nicole Marie. Michael Hopkins, we're killing it on today's broadcast of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. We are live on Band-Aid Friday. It's broadcast number 881.
Yep.
I have to think back. It just flashed in my mind. It's the first show, 881 episodes ago. I had returned to, we had been producing the Hair Radio Show, but it was just a broadcast that would play at different times on our own. We had a different network. We came to Blog Talk in 2015, and that's where we've been ever since. It was very different, and that first episode that you guys can still hear, which I've never deleted or canceled, which is just awful. But it was really awful. It was hard to I didn't know how to hit the buttons, and you could hear echoes. It was just crazy. But it was such a good now, I could have packed up and hung it up and packed up my little tent and gone about my way. But I said, no, we're going to master this. And that's exactly what we did. So that's the big takeaway in terms of inspiration and hope of the day is remember to stay inspired and work towards things. And that's what we did. So
right.
We're going to talk about that in the next hour. We've got more to chat with Michael Hopkins and the Vet Talk Radio Show. Want to find out on details and what's going on. So first, we're going to take a little bit of a music break. Nicole Marie, I love today's Hope of the Day. It was
thank you.
Very, very inspirational. Very inspirational.
Give you something to think about. Yeah.
Yes, it does. It's good. It gives me images of the United States Army. Yes, it does.
Yes. And I absolutely love the chatter with us about Michael Orr. We're going to continue to follow this story because there's more to it.
Oh, great.
There's more to come,
Yes,
there's
it is.
There's a lot more to be coming on that one.
A whole lot more.
So stay with us. We're going to slow it down just a little bit with my favorite from this Sade, and we'll be back. Stay with us.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
The shot money. money is fast money, and if you're wise, you'll stash the money, because eventually you'll get burnt out. Now your pocket's looking funny. Never saw it coming, because you've been balling since 24. Do one-hand designer shoes all day, now your knees sore. Create your exit plan, or you'll be stuck in the trap. Like selling dope, the money come faster with no plan, it's a wrap. Miss your kids growing up trying to stack that paper. Now they're grown and you missed out on their life, and I hope they don't hate you. The shop will make you money, but it could leave you blind. Taking that thing that you can't get back, and that's called time. Taking trips to the hair show, yeah, that's sweet. But then you gotta rush back to the shop to stand on your feet. I'm just trying to school this generation the best that I can. Ball out and stack that paper, make sure you got an exit plan. The hair game is like a trap, money falling in your lap. God forbid you get sick, now your clientele off track. You better get you some insurance, and that's just something you can't dodge. Cause you mess around and you get sick, now you're forced to get a job. You buy your kids everything just to compensate for the time lost. Traded in the best years of their life just to call myself a boss.
In November 2022, researchers found out that women who use chemicals in their hair, such as hair relaxers, are likely to develop uterine cancer. At Heal & Go, we pride ourselves as the producers of all-natural hair care products. We use all-natural organic ingredients in our products to ensure a chemical-free process. Visit our website at www.healandgo.com to read about all our products and their uses. Again, our website is www.healandgo.com.
And don't ever confuse leading blacks with black leaders. Let me tell you why you don't do that. One of the reasons you don't confuse them, black leaders are chosen by you. They're chosen by the people they're going to lead. They're chosen by us. And let me tell you about the leading blacks. The leading blacks are chosen by the media. Leading blacks are chosen by ABC, all broadcasting Caucasians. Leading blacks are also chosen by NBC, nothing broadcasting but Caucasians. And the rest are chosen by CBS, the Caucasian broadcasting system. And when you allow leaders to be chosen by the media that's owned by the corporations, when you get ready to change your lives, but carefully watch and see what the leading blacks are doing. Because that's when the leading blacks sneak into the door to the corporations, and they will tell the corporations, oh, we know how to go and put them down. We know how to get you some real affirmative action Negroes to come in and work. We know how to do that. But at the end of the day, the leading blacks lead the corporations, and the leading blacks have gotten paid while we have gotten slaves.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Okay, we are back live. It's Friday morning, August 18th of 2023. I'm Carrie Hines. It is so awesome to have you guys with us. We really are excited. Let me bring back to the line our co-host. You guys know Michael Hopkins. He's out of wonderful, beautiful, I should say, beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. And, of course, we're going to be joined by Keisha McAllister in just a couple minutes with some great hair talk. Real excited to ask a hairstylist live right here on the air. Michael, good morning again. Happy mid-show to brother
Yes.
Michael.
Yes. Happy mid-show.
Today. Oh, yeah. So we've been having a good time. Anything jump out at you on today's broadcast?
Wow, Carrie. You said, did anything jump out?
No,
that ongoing story about the football player from the Blind Side. That just, you know, it just, it's not like it amazes me.
That is a story, man.
Yeah, and then I was reading somewhere where they were talking about asking Sandra Bullock to give her Oscar back. And I'm just thinking, okay.
This is the biggest story. I said, where in the world? Why would they put that on that poor woman who really was just acting in a movie?
Yeah, that's the key word, isn't it?
It wasn't like she forced.
Yeah.
Got the story all discombobulated and turned all inside out. We can't separate reality from fiction.
And it looks like, to me, Carrie, it looks like somebody just has nothing else to do and nothing else to report. Instead of sticking to reporting the story and following up on the story, let's go after somebody who really doesn't have anything to do with the actual story. What does she benefit from?
It's like
you said.
Now, isn't that what a scapegoat is?
You're right.
You want somebody to pay for something that maybe didn't even cause it.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, she's
blown away. How do you feel about that? Do you think Sandra Bullock should give her Oscar Academy Award back?
No, not really. Not really, Carrie, because when you look at it, let's just stick to the facts so far as the facts have been revealed or what we allegedly think are the facts. Nowhere in there did I see Sandra Bullock's name. I don't see it. I really don't. And I think it's just whatever media it was, it wasn't like the main media we're used to listening to. This is the entertainment media, the sensationalism media. So it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, this is my humble Michael Hopkins humble opinion. But it doesn't make sense to me. Let's stick with what happened to this gentleman and what are they going to do about it? What is he going to do about it? I mean, is this lawyer to lawyer, which more than likely it is? And let's follow it from that angle. Let's follow it from this is going to be in the court system and all of that. Let's follow it from that angle. I'm not interested in following Sandra Bullock's career with the Blind Side. I'm not interested.
Wow.
I'm throwing it back over to you, Carrie.
I don't know, Michael. I really like Sandra a lot, but I don't think this was her fault.
No,
but,
it wasn't.
However, who were the actual producers? I think that there was probably more to the story even then that should have been told, and more research probably has been done. But what it generally means that Hollywood movies, we always want a happy ending. And so I guess just in being a producer type myself, I think that's what you're looking at. It's just, you know, giving the people what they want. It wouldn't have sounded so good if at the end of the movie they said, well, we got your conservatorship.
That wouldn't have come over too good. Wouldn't have come over too good.
You know, it sounds so much better to say, we've adopted you and all of that. But my favorite part, and I think I've mentioned this, is where the actor had to apologize to the original guy because the original guy was upset, saying that that he portrayed him looking like he just is out of it, you know. And he really, in the movie, to me, he was borderline, kind of like just crazy. I'm sorry, no other way to say it. And so
So the actor, the real guy was like, he portrayed him in that way. And so, but the guy, the actor, I saw later say that he did not intend to offend the actual, gentleman, the football player, because he had not met him at that point, I guess, and there was no real communication between them on his depiction of him. And so,
wow.
Listen, you got to be careful when you play actors and, for you guys in show business, when you're portraying somebody who's alive, that's real different than portraying somebody who's no longer with us.
Yeah, that's true. Because I was wondering that, Carrie. Now that you brought that up, I was wondering because I was kind of under the assumption that, like what you just said, when it's a live person and you're portraying that person, I was under the assumption is that you go visit that person, you work with that person, you learn to mimic that person so that you can accurately portray that person. That's what the impression that I've always gotten with a lot of the actors. Like you said, when it's the actor is portraying somebody that is still, it's sort of like Angela Bassett doing Tina Turner. And she had to study her mannerisms to get it to have with accuracy. So apparently, as you're saying, apparently in the beginning of this journey for this actor, he really didn't study the real person until later on. And then at that point, wouldn't it be kind of hard at that point, Carrie? Wouldn't it be kind of hard at that point?
Yeah, I just think that it's a very interesting story to me, and it just keeps giving and giving and giving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is going to be going on for years, I bet.
Yeah, it's a real interesting story. And like I said, we don't know all the bits and pieces to it and so much. There's a lot more to this. It's just crazy. And I don't know. I find it fascinating that it was hovering under and bubbling under the surface. We had no idea that all this was going on. And then there was a part to this that said that that the couple was being sued unless he gave the gentleman that was the football player $15 million, or he was going to go public with the story, which is almost bordering on blackmail. And I said, wow. Oh, it just kept going. The story is just as bizarre as you can get.
Like
and
you
so,
said, this this will probably be a movie of the week, within a movie of the week.
It really is a movie developed. I'm sure somebody's thinking that way. This is the movie about a movie. That's crazy to me. I've never seen anything like it. Which is really bizarre. It's as bizarre as you can get. You can't make up this stuff, folks.
No, you can't.
You can't make it up. Michael, I want to chit-chat a little bit about bring everybody up to speed about Vet Talk Radio, what's going on with that. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's happening at Vet Talk Radio these days?
Oh, sure, Carrie. Sure. The greatest thing that's happening at Vet Talk Radio is we're having now a lot of the veterans are getting 100%. And I have a lot of them out there that I've been helping that is just coming into light now. A lot of my vets are becoming 100%. Permitted and total veterans. And a lot of it has come from what we do here, Vet Talk Radio, here on Tuesdays at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. And it's just great, Carrie. I'm still having the the veterans come up to me and they talk to me, and it's getting to a point, Carrie, I'm being invited to functions with veterans. I have a function that I'm invited to go to that's in Northern Virginia, and it's about 10 or 15 vets. And I'm sure some of them have had the opportunity to listen to the show. I know they have questions. And we're just blowing and going right now, Carrie. And season three is just going to be so fantastic. I'm going to do more interviews with veterans that have taken advantage of the knowledge that we put out on the Vet Talk radio show. And I'm going to interview them and talk to them.
That's going to be amazing.
Oh, yes. It's just going to be amazing, Carrie. And this has just been, you know, going into season three is just, it's like a dream come true for me. That's what it's been for me, Carrie. I wanted to, when I started learning about the claims process and the compensation and, you know, then all of a sudden I became an accredited claims agent, and now, you know, I'm being offered the opportunity to be an advocate for veterans at different veteran organizations. I mean, what more can a guy like me, you know, humble beginnings myself, man, I came from humble beginnings of the claims process like every other veteran. I just made it my passion, and that's what it is, Carrie Hines. It's a passion for me to help veterans. I'm on the phone with veterans. Sometimes it seems like it's 24/7 that I'm talking to some veteran about the claims and compensation process and their fears and their sometimes they're a little upset because they don't understand something, and then I break it on down, as you always say. I just break it on down with them, and they go, "Oh, you mean to tell me, yeah, that's the part you're missing." Or I teach them about their decision letters or about the CFR 38 Part 4, what I call the Bible of Claims. And it's a government publication. It's a free government publication that tells you about the claims process.
You're just killing it on the show with this talk, and we love it. And we want to get more into, especially what's happening. You have a special show coming up on Tuesday we've got to talk about. Keisha McAllister, for you guys who've been holding on, Keisha is going to be with us live all the way from California. And we've got we're doing something which you guys know about Ask a Hairstylist. We've had many Ask a Hairstylist episodes on, starring Keisha. Speaking of which, Michael, like you, we're putting something in the next issue of Afrolock Magazine, which is due out on the 1st of September. And
this is
super excited.
Yes, and we just encourage everybody, go out and read the magazine. The magazine is beautiful. Yes. The cover is beautiful.
Yes.
The contents in the magazine are very informative. Get the magazine. You know, I just encourage, you know, my vets, this is something you need to take a look at. You need to dive deep into this.
And just hang on in there with us. And that's the idea. Well, listen, we've been kind of digging up some of the real classic songs. Good grief. We have gone way in. I didn't know we could go back so far.
Oh, yeah.
But,
right,
Hopkins? I just want to say that we have really not just dug up some classic songs, but also some classic interviews right here on the broadcast. And we've been kind of throwing them in here and there and all of that. Well, coming up right after the song, finally, you've been waiting for her to get to the mic. And boy, she is, you just imagine she's walking up slowly to the mic this morning. All all the way from 3,000 miles away. We're talking about the one and only Keisha McAllister of Lavender Beauty fame. And now she's doing so much stuff out there and always busy in the industry. And we're just so happy. So, Michael Hopkins, we will be chatting with Keisha all about what's new and also more of Ask a Hairstylist. First time live today on this broadcast. So let's kind of, we said we're throwing it back. Well, this wonderful lady was interviewed by me a couple times throughout her career and had a chance to sit and chat with her close up on the mic. We're talking about the beautiful Miss Cece Peniston from Finally Fame. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Oh, no. time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right. Thank you, Purple Barbie. Again, it's Friday morning, August 18th of 2023. I'm Carrie Hines. It's great to have you guys with us today. Got a lot still going on for our third hour. It's our spotlight hour. And, oh, boy, do we have a treat for you. First, let me get Michael Hopkins. He's the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show. And it'll be, again, broadcasting on Tuesday morning, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Michael Hopkins, are you ready for Ms. Keisha McAllister? We're bringing her to the line. She comes to us all the way from out in. Yes, I'm super excited. We're going to do a special broadcast today of Ask a Hairstylist. That's where questions that have been sent in from our fans, our listeners, and we are going to read them to Ms. Keisha McAllister, who is our resident hairstylist. And when I first asked Keisha a little bit, I think early this morning there was a, we heard from Dr. Pranit James. I don't know if you remember that, Michael, this morning. She was on chatting up the storm with our fans and all of that. And I just thought it was a great episode. Anytime Dr. Pranit James comes on. So, right? So Keisha McAllister, who is all the way from Fairfield, California. Good morning. You're on with Michael Hopkins. You're on with Carrie Hines. It is the Spotlight Hour, which is our third hour of the Hair Radio Morning Show broadcast. And today is Fan Day Friday. So Keisha
morning.
Yes, good morning officially. You've been with us all week.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, guys. Yes, good morning, GM. Yes. I love saying that. So good stuff today. So first of all, Keisha, you've been listening. Let's get your opinion on this. What are your thoughts today? You've been hearing a little bit on the show. And I don't know if you, you know, have you weighed in on the story? Have you seen or heard about the fella, the football player story, what everybody seems to be talking about these days on the Blind Side movie?
I have read a bit about it. Actually, I come from an adopted background.
Get
with some not
you.
So, yeah, with
wow.
some not so, what's the word?
Foreign or
people
not
that weren't on
familiar.
The up and up. Yeah, they weren't on. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Not so great environment. Not so. I get where he's coming from.
Wow.
Give me my
stuff.
My,
my.
You shocked
yeah.
me this morning.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty much so.
Okay. Wow, Keisha.
Yeah,
so I didn't know that. So you were adopted, so you could relate. But that movie touched a lot of people's spirits and who were in who were adopted or didn't fit into a conventional family.
Right.
So I think folks really love that movie, and I think it has so many different parts to it. It's still the story is not fully told yet.
Right.
That's the way
people can. Yeah, I think you have to take away from it what you will. And I heard you earlier asking about, you know, they're talking about Sandra Bullock giving her award back. That's stupid.
I got to laugh.
She didn't have anything to do with it.
She
didn't have anything to do with that.
How about that?
That's
oh,
just
yeah.
as crazy
so,
as the dick is. What's wrong
I
with our world out here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing
to
do with
you know.
And what are the gimmicks? It's an Oscar award. Like that. What is it? What have we come to? What
right.
have we
How about that?
New,
I guess you'll
right,
have to take the pictures away
didn't
too.
Cancel her.
Crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
That too.
I think he just said it. Hold it. Repeat that one more time, please. What did you say again out there in California, Ms. Keisha? Repeat that.
Oh, that she shouldn't be canceled because she was an actress in the movie. she had zero to do with that. So, you know, she did her job.
We need to get into that. What is this cancel culture mentality, mob mentality is what it used to be called, Michael Hopkins? You know, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe it's a good thing when you agree with everybody, but it's a bad thing when you don't. And I just,
when it works against you.
It works against you. And I just don't think that the idea that poor Sandra, who I'm hearing may be battling who knows what on her own, and this is not, this is also kind of like a blip, even though she had nothing to do with it, it's going to always kind of be connected to her in some degree. And so, you know, I just, the fact that they want to cancel her out over this, which makes no sense at all, other than if she was a producer. Now, is there more to the story? Was she a producer on the movie? Was this something that should have been discussed? I don't know. This is a crazy story to me.
I think it's the you've got fact checkers. Where are the fact checkers? Those are the people who obviously didn't do their job correctly. They didn't do the research to find all that out. But we're also in a different time of being able to get information, you know, from the time that they did that movie to now, anybody can get any type of information. And I think the mob mentality comes from we're now in a people who sit in front of a screen instead of really going out and connecting with people. So you don't know how people are going to react or where their heart's intention was or being able to tell if somebody's lying. They just assume everybody's lying or that everyone's telling the truth. So it has to be getting back to connecting with people and really understanding people and understanding yourself to know, you know, whether someone should be canceled or not. Now, we got big people that need to be canceled, and they haven't been canceled at all. So it also speaks to the weight or what people are really paying attention to. Is it just surface, or are you really digging deep?
Wow. Keisha, you are real strong this morning.
Well, this very is the way I think. I just do my part. This is the way I think. I just do my part when I'm supposed to come in.
You going in. Am I right, Michael Hopkins? What do you say about Keisha and her canceled song?
I tell you one thing, Carrie, we know Northern California is in the house, don't we?
That's funny. But these are conversations that happen in the salon. That's why. These are things that we've been talking about over and over and over again. They never make it to the radio, you know, or to a podcast. So,
you know what? You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Keisha M., you're doing it up. Now, I've got to tell you, this one really gets me because, you know what? In a way, it's like we have that scapegoating mentality where we don't care. We just want somebody to pay for the crime. And and it just makes no sense that how do we do that? Like what's wrong with us that we don't care? You know, we just want somebody to suffer. And it may not be appropriate, but we don't care. So it seems. And I just, my heart goes out to the story is just crazy. And in a way I'm sorry because it's something else that chips away at these fairy tale type movies that we always believe, like I said earlier, that the folks are going to go off and just, you know, go off into the sunset and live happy ever after.
Yep.
So it kind of like, you know, everybody said, what? There's a part two? So there's a part movie and maybe a part three.
Yeah.
But right now, It's crazy to me. So
yeah, it is.
I enjoy talking
hey,
about
with,
it.
Hey, Carrie, would this be called a prequel or something? Is that what this is called?
No,
the prequel
is no. The prequel is what happens before the first installment of a movie. The sequel is what happens after. So it would be a sequel. If they were to come out with a movie now, it would be a sequel. A prequel would be when he was just being born, perhaps.
Blinded on the blind side. Is that what they're going to call it? Blinded on the blind side.
I mean, it's about as blind as this one caught us all off the back. I mean, wow.
I tell you.
So we're going to follow these stories. Well, listen, guys. We've kept you long enough waiting for more live talk today. We've got our special guest contributor, Keisha McAllister, who is a licensed cosmetologist, coming to us all the way from out in California today, as she does each day. But here, this is the first time we're really talking about Ask a Hairstylist live on the air. So we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and then when we come back, Keisha M., get ready. You're making your live Ask a Hairstylist debut right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So is that not just awesome? So stay with us, folks. We've got more to get into this morning.
What I've enjoyed doing all my life. For my little girl, I always loved messing with my sister's hair. They had beautiful hair. And I always enjoyed doing this.
Callie Terrell loves making women look and feel good.
I feel good. Now when I do it again, make me pay more.
Mrs. Terrell now only works to keep busy and to satisfy a few longtime customers like her daughter, Inez. She's 99 years old and anxiously awaiting her 100th birthday in November.
Man, if I give out my birthday to people, you have to pay for it. November 26th. How old will you be? 100. How about that?
Her zeal for life is amazing, and so is her work ethic. WRET checked the state of Tennessee, and they first issued her license to operate on January 30th, 1945. She rents space in a salon now, but once had her own thriving business. She's outlived almost all of her customers.
People my age that I used to buddy-buddy with, I don't have a single one. I was in a bridge club. I'm the only one in the club that's living.
Work is part of her secret to longevity.
I'm not used to just being up in the house. See, I work so long. I've just been around people. So I enjoy being with people and doing something exciting.
Most old people, they're a little dry and droll. I can't deal with that. I got to live. I do the things that make me happy.
Working brings her joy, but she plans to finally retire at the end of the year. But she says, don't expect to find her sitting around the house doing nothing.
I just be waiting on somebody to call and say, Carrie, you busy? I said, now what is it? Well, come on over here. We doing so-and-so. And I jump in the car and go, I just want to do something.
Okay, we're back live Friday, August 18th, 2023, and Michael Hopkins, Keisha McAllister, folks joining me this morning, all the fans everywhere. We're so excited.
Hey.
Yes, Keisha has come to us from out in California again. Good morning to everybody. We're in our third hour on today's show. Keisha, I have to kind of lead on in. We're hearing today about products. In fact, we've got Michelle from Louisville, Kentucky. She's a hair salon owner, and she wants to let you know that she listened to your special right here that you did on products, on types of products and being a product junkie, and she just loved it, and she wanted to pass that along and asks these days, is there anything that you would add to the conversation about hair products? And I think this is a good question, right, Michael, where, you know, we're all, you know, putting all kinds of products and we go in and look in the
right
cabinet. products falling all into the sink. It looks like Michelle wants to know, is there anything you can add to that conversation today on the broadcast? What do you say to Michelle in Louisville?
Well, Michelle in Louisville, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that. I know her walk as a salon owner, so God bless you. My prayers are with you. As products go, I tried to have a consultation with my client the first time before we have our first appointment, and that's for a number of reasons. One, to find out what they think about their hair. One of the first questions I ask them is, tell me about your hair. Because then you'll actually get an honest, seemingly an honest response. And you'll also get a list of the products they use. And so with that, I ask, well, why do you use that? And, you know, what is that for? What made you buy that? You know, all that. So the question is why are you using it? What does it do for your hair? Have you seen any response? And then if it's just too many things, I encourage them to put the product down or give it to a niece or, a daughter or a granddaughter or something like that, because it's not benefiting her hair or their hair. So that's usually where I go in the conversation with products. Why do you use that? Tell me what does it do for your hair? Tell me how it makes your hair feel. Does it last all day or does it last 3 days? How long does it last? What made you buy it? Because these commercials now, between the commercials on TV and on the internet, you're just being banged, blasted with product here, products there. And so I really encourage my clients to find a product. If it's not something that I can get for them or sell to them, but something that I've trusted for 10, 15, almost 20 years, I'll encourage them to get that product and use it because I know how it works. I know how it works on different types of hair. And I try to help them clear the sink or the closet of 19, 20 bottles of something because it's not necessary.
I see. That's very interesting. Now, what about folks who are, I'm going to go there, Michael Hopkins, like, say, military folks or folks who, may be away. And Michael, you can speak to this. What, you have, like, a commissary? How do the folks in the military, how do they get the product for their hair and personal use when you were in the military, sir? Can you shed some light onto that?
Oh, sure, Terry. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we usually, a lot of military people will either do one of two things. One thing they would normally do is you have the PX or the post exchange. And in the post exchange, they have a lot of the products, the hair care type products. Sometimes, especially if you're overseas, you may have your family ship things to you, like we do with Carapy. You know, it's just like with Carapy, Carrie. You request
it, ship
it
over
and ship
to
it. Right,
wow.
Very much so. Yeah, and if you're in a major city, As a military person, then you have that other option of going on, we call it the economy, or as civilians would call it, going shopping to like a Walmart or any type of stores like that, or a specialty store to find things. But there are, a lot of times, there are options.
But, wow, but they don't have as much. Is it possible they may not have as much access as we do here in the homeland, is what you're saying?
Right, pretty much so. It's a specialty thing. And sometimes you have to ask the, we call it AFES, and, you know, as usual, acronyms with the government. And basically what AFES is sort of like, you could equate it to a distribution center for the armed forces of the United States. And sometimes you may have to request to get products like that, that are geared toward people of color.
Okay. I see. Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Okay. Thank you, Hopkins. Now
that's very interesting.
Did you have anything you want to add to that with our very special guest today, Keisha McAllister?
Well, I wanted to add to that because I'm in a military town. And what has happened over the years is that the soldiers of color have had to go, what do you call it, off to economy or off base to get their hair done or get the specialty products. So that I've been educated this morning. So thank you very much, Michael. It's something that I've been wanting to get into to help the soldiers, you know, abroad. Get their stuff.
Very much
get the
so.
Right stuff, not just some stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a plug for the moment, but healthy care as well.
Right.
You know,
right.
And
right.
Carrie, the way I see it, it's all about education.
True.
You know, it's all like what we do with therapy is educating people. In this
That's
process,
right.
like what we do here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We
That's
educate
right.
people in this process.
Yes. And Keisha, right. you know, speaking of which, Michael, I know we didn't plan on getting into this, but I love this because who would have thought that there was such a correlation between folks in the military and like even the fellas using shaving products and things like that.
Right.
Who would have ever thought
mm-hmm.
that they have to often file claims that are relating to hair loss just from shaving and get all kinds of special shaving
mm-hmm.
waivers. And I just didn't think that there was such a connection. I was shocked. So it's
very
nice
much
that
so,
I have
special skin
yeah.
care. Right. And, right. And our skin needs special skin care. So it's not
Very
that we can
so.
Just shave with anything or use
exactly.
any type of cream.
Exactly.
You need
exactly.
something that
right.
is specific to
exactly.
to the job.
That yes, exactly. That and
yep.
that's what therapy is all about.
Right.
And so I thank you guys. Well, I'm loving this convo today that we just did not know we were going to get into. And our Q&A today, which is really Ask a Hairstylist. Now, I have to say, great talk, Michael. Great talk. I have to say, good job. And Keisha McAllister, as always, hey, hey, hey.
hey, hey, hey.
Yes,
I have to that trademark that one, Keisha. She's going to have
yeah.
to trademark that one.
Yeah, that hey, hey, hey has got something. I might have to take that one over. That's a good one.
Well,
I only had
you added the third one on there.
Oh, you only had hey, hey.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow.
Man, oh, man. Well, listen, I love that. You're right. I think I got it from, what was the kid on?
Fat Albert. It was
no, what's happening?
What's happening?
Or was
that
Dwayne?
Way back.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah. We're just going to what's happening. That's a little bit later. And the creator, remember, was on our show. Remember, we had the creator of What's Happening, who was Eric Montague, who wrote
right.
Created the characters of Good Times and all that. Well, Eric also created What's Happening, the TV show, which was based on his movie that he created called Cooley High.
Okay.
But, yeah,
right.
Dwayne, that character, Dwayne,
right.
that he created, used to always say that, Hey, Hey, Hey. And I think I'm going to bring that on back. And I'm really loving that. Yeah, this morning. No, but it's really fun. Now, you see how we have done so much over the years on this broadcast that when
very
I came back to the radio, this gentleman welcomed me back to the airways. He gave a special thing at the end of our interview piece. I'm going to see if I can find it for you guys. Maybe we'll get it on in just a little bit. Because what I loved about his story is that he told the whole story about he and Lionel from the Jeffersons going out to California. Remember that? I just love Eric Montes.
Oh, yeah, it was
story.
A great story.
Yeah, I'm going to see if we can get it on for you guys and let you guys take a listen this morning. I think you'll appreciate that. And but listen, there's a lot to it. So we'll get it on as a little treat for you guys on this Friday. I think that'll be fun. So we'll do that in the next 20 minutes or so. So I have to say, I thought that was really great. That's where we got the hey, hey, okay, and another hey. So listen, one of the other questions for the live chat today on Ask a Hairstylist, it's on a topic that we know a lot about. And for the folks who are just learning about this, there is a special cover story that's coming up in the September issue of Afrolock Magazine that's here in 2023. So it'll be out on September 1st. And it's all about mixed textures, which we're going to talk about. And so I cannot wait. And we're going to read about it and all of that good stuff. So Billy, who his name is Billy, that's all he says, from Portland, Oregon. So this is out on the Pacific West Coast.
My way, north
from you. And so his question, yes, is there a difference in textures? Is there really a difference with mixed styles? I think, I guess, because what he's probably saying is that there's a whole, like we even said at the top of the show today, there's a thing out there that seems to exist now that didn't quite exist in times past about folks of mixed races. And now it seems like there is an entire marketing that seems to be directed to these individuals that didn't exist before. And so I guess he's asking, is there really a difference? I don't know. What do you say to that, Mr. Billy, out in Portland, Oregon? Keisha McAllister.
Well, hello, Billy. Hello, Billy, out in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for your question.
Yes.
Actually, there is a difference in multiracial or mixed race hair.
Yeah.
And the thing is that even in the same family, two siblings could have two different textures with the same mother and father. It's just how it goes. And so the thing is to understand what your hair does and treat your hair.
That you need to say that loud and proud.
Yeah,
what
your hair does, and not compare your hair to your sister or your brother's hair, because it's going to be different. I've had several clients who are family members, and one will have 3C hair, and the other will have 4C hair, and they got the same mother and father.
Well,
that's just how it goes.
Just remind everybody, because that's the hair type, the different hair types, and we talked about that for you guys just tuning in. I think Dr. Bernice James, she kind of broke it down early this morning
on the
show. So right? And so you may want to play it back, guys, if you've missed it out there. I thought she did a pretty good job. She really did in kind of covering
Dr. James.
What.
Right? She did. Yeah, she did. And I think what people need to understand is that you need to believe that there are different textures.
walking down the street, you'll see different textures on different people all over the place. And it's not just because this person is black or this person is Asian or this person is this. It's different textures, period. And sometimes even in the Asian community, you have one sibling who has 1A, super straight hair, and it can't get a curl. And then they'll have a sibling that has curly or wavy hair. And they do have the same sibling. So it's we always want what we can't have. But it's important that you understand what your hair can do and treat it accordingly. But the main thing that Dr. James was really stressing on is really taking care of yourself, taking care of your body, making sure that you're taking care of yourself from the inside out. So it's moisturizing the inside of your body and hydrating the inside of your body. And it reflects in your skin. It reflects in your hair. It reflects in your overall mood.
And you just feel so good.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's true.
It does happen that way. And it's important. And sometimes it's something that you have to tell yourself every single day, okay, get up. All right, comb your hair.
Right.
All right, you know, just to get it going. But, yes, understand what your hair can do. And there are a lot of products for a lot of these different textures. And sometimes the products are too heavy for your particular hair. But your sister can use it. Pass it on, you know, pass it on, and then find a stylist who can help you maybe find out the right moisture level for your hair, which is the pH balances and what product is going that you can use, that you can style with, that you can shampoo and condition with, but something that you can also style with that's going to maintain the look that you're trying to. Whether it's wavy or it's straight, but something that's not going to be too heavy for your hair.
Wow. Well, as always, we're talking with the one and only Keisha McAllister, Michael Hopkins. I'm Carrie Hines, and I'm just loving these. This is our very first live after today. Good job, Keisha McAllister.
Oh, yeah.
You're bringing it today. You are, in fact, I just want to take my hat off to you. You've done such a great job, Michael. Am I right?
Yes. All week. You are absolutely right, Carrie Hines. Yes. Keisha McAllister has done a great job.
Yes.
Well, thank
kind
y'all.
Of weaving in and out literally on the broadcast. And the reason this is so significant is because we are 3,000 miles away. And we are live on the air. And for us, you are, like I said, 3,000 miles away. You're in California. And it's literally the middle of the night out there. And for you to get up and be concerned about hair care for the fans, and we have fans as far away as Africa and all Australia and just where it's just incredible. You are doing your part globally to help the folks out there. So good stuff, and always ripe and ready, and just, you know, you're a big part of what we do here. So we just want to say thank you again, Keisha McAllister. Great job.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah. And what I'm loving about this is also getting some of the classic hair folks on and then having some conversations about what they discuss and breaking it on down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love
right.
that Keisha is able to do. So I think what we'll do, and what I'll do, I'll get on the piece next week with the gentleman, Eric Monty, because we've put that on before. But I want to continue this whole thing on the hair talk today. I really do. The last question that comes in today, and then we're going to kind of get on one of our classic pieces that I want you to break down. And this is Mr. Eugene Davis talking about his first time on the show. And I want you to take a real good listen, Keisha McAllister, and we'll talk about it on the other end. The first here is a question that comes to us It's a Mrs. Jones, and she's only she's in Detroit. And this is easy. She talks about the big chop, and here's a new twist to that, she says, because this is about, is there anything that she needs to prepare psychologically? She's thinking about cutting off, cutting the relaxer out of her hair, and she wants to know if there's anything, is that, is she going to go, in your opinion, through, I know she's not your client, but is there something that she might go through mentally, I guess is what her question is. Should she talk with the stylist first before she does this or get some kind of professional advice from the hair community? What would you tell Mrs. Jones out in Detroit, Keisha McAllister?
Well, Mrs. Jones out in Detroit, great question. Just the fact that you're asking me, and I'm kind of like a global hairstylist, if you say, I would encourage you to talk to your stylist because the big chop is, for some people, it's not a big deal. You know, they're used to going back and forth on short hair. I've cut my hair short several times. It's been all sorts of different colors. You can see on my,
Wow.
I've been every color. I've been ice blue, lavender, pink. I mean, you know, navy blue, orange. I mean, I've been, platinum blonde. I've done all those things. And the hardest thing for me was to put on that long weave. That was the new look for me. Right. But I want Mrs. Jones to understand is that the big chop is definitely a new beginning. And it's something that I'm considering myself going through this medical emergency these last couple of months. And I have not really been able to comb my hair because I'm left-handed. And my right hand doesn't move quite as the left hand does.
This is But you know what, Keisha, a lot of folks did not realize just all that you have been going through. So take a moment, please, to kind of, if you don't mind, bring everybody up to speed on how you're doing out there. Anything you want to share on that level, we want folks to know that we care about you and we want you to do well.
Well, I'm grateful for every prayer. But I recently experienced a medical emergency the end of June, which cost me some time from away from the chair. It cost me my working hand and some other body parts. One of the biggest things.
Temporarily for the working hand. It wasn't like you'll never be able to use it again. We just want to make people
aware. No. It wasn't that. But what I had to do was I actually had to get skin grafts on this hand. And new skin has to seal. It has to, you have to work it so it stretches. You have to, you're constantly rubbing on yourself. And I'm one of those people, I was constantly combing hair. I wasn't rubbing on my hand.
And folks, if you've got the little ones in, this might be a strong conversation for them because it is for me. So usher them out of the room right now because we're talking
a little bit
about
that. I won't go all the way there, I had to put my hand and arm away for some time now. So it's me trying to just get back into the game of combing hair. And I've been considering Mrs. Jones the big chop because I brought my clippers with me.
Yeah.
And even though I have some other hair to create another hairstyle, I'm really considering the big chop because then I don't have to do anything to it. And that's me as a hairstylist already knowing what I look like with no hair. But you should speak to your stylist. I mean, really speak to your stylist about the big chop. But another way to do it is if you have enough hair, pull it back in a ponytail and lay it flat. And look at yourself and see if you're going to be able to, because there's no, you have a hairline, but there's no bangs. you know, you're not going to be able to swoop something over just in case your edges aren't doing what you want them to do that day.
Right.
This is
yeah.
for real. And
yeah,
and it's something that you really should be prepared for. So I encourage you to talk to your client, talk to your stylist, or talk to a barber who is used to barbering women, who also should know the ins and outs and how to kind of walk you through your first big chop, because he may be doing it for medical reasons, you know, for different reasons. And sometimes it's just, I'm just trying to have a new life. I'm sick of this foolishness. And, you know, I didn't quit him and quit her, did all that stuff, and I'm moving on. So, you know, you really have to figure out, why are you doing the big chop? Is it because you haven't been able to get your hair done? Or is it because you're ready for something new? Or it might be medical. These are things, this is the conversation you need to have with your stylist or your barber.
Wow, I'm loving it. So there could be that psychological
oh, yeah.
connection. Wow,
oh,
very interesting.
So,
yeah, I'm
it
loving
really
that.
Is.
Yeah, and don't forget, you know, wigs are always out there too.
Oh, yeah.
As an option, yeah, as a covering for the women who might feel, and men these days, who might feel that this is something until they feel comfortable. I remember there was one lady going through the big chop, and I remember she was on a show, and she says, you know, Carrie, she said that she was wearing the wig until she got comfortable enough with the growth back, with the regrowth of her natural mm-hmm. hair, till it got to a level where mm-hmm. she was okay with revealing it to the world. And she was mm-hmm. going to wear a wig until then. And that's what she did. I remember very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always interesting. We don't talk enough about the big chop, but I loved having that conversation today on the broadcast. And the fact that, Keisha McAllister, you've done just an incredible job with this, this chat today, I'm just blown away. You really have. You've just killed it, as we say, on the broadcast today. So good stuff.
Oh, thank you. This is what I do.
Oh,
this is,
very
this
much
is what
so.
I love. This is what I love.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have just
which is why I get
over.
Up in the morning to do this show.
And
oh,
we just agree. We are enjoying it. We are enjoying it. You've just been a really godsend. So
oh,
listen,
yeah, very much
we're gonna take a little bit of a music break. Before we send you off for the weekend, we're gonna talk a little bit more about what's next. And what we still have to have that conversation with Michael Hopkins on what to expect on Tuesday. So we're still killing it here this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to have you guys to just stay with us, and let's just get on. We kind of have to – I want to hear some more classic stuff, but this is one of those songs play often enough. We lost this lady so many years ago, and it still touches my heart. But this is an upbeat moment that I think you're going to have a good memory. And then we'll be back, more to talk with our special guest and our spotlight hour, Ms. Keisha McAllister, hairstylist to our show, and Michael Hopkins, Vet Talk Radio, and me, I'm Gary Hines. We've got more to get into. Stay with us.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many hear of Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? Who,
right.
What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99%
two.
Of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone,
no.
About Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might
right.
have three
and
or
no
four
one.
People
right, exactly.
saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Correct.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
we
was...
Hold it. Yes. Go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was...
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually... she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to porocollege.com. And Poro College, it's just very simple. The word, first word is four letters. Poro, P as in Paul, O as in ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in ocean, Poro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, yeah, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first
amazing.
People in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And,
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Was
well,
it Annie Malone or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker. With all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, women, female millionaires in the country.
And that's
just
what
based
I'm getting.
On the timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both, and
oh,
all the things that they
no
stand for.
They both are wonderful. Yes,
absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right, exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone, what happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, you know, clean, it was orderly, it was, I mean, you could see the record system she had.
Morning coffee, vanilla latte, sip to go. Drink it slow.
Drink it slow. All right. Yes, we're back. Wednesday. It's Friday morning, August 18th. It's our show number 881. Michael, Keisha McAllister from California. I just want to say again, thank you. This has been an incredible show. We were just listening to Dr. Freeman talk a little bit about these incredible women like Madam Walker and Annie.
Right.
It never gets tired for me. I love always
these
women as well. So,
always learn something when I listen to Dr. Freeman. I always.
Yes, me too. And so we love that. We have to say the women have done you've done the work, Keisha McAllister. You've done
Thank
the work.
Very much so.
You've done a great job. So it was a great week here on the broadcast of the Hair Radio.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, we had a little Tuesday. We had some technical stuff. We had to kind of skip the day. It really wasn't us. It was Blog Talk. I'm going to put him on out there. With our friends over at Blog Talk Radio. So we had to update their platform. But we were back on Wednesday, just killing it here. Keisha McAllister, you've been with us every day, helping us to hold down the fort. We've just been doing some great stuff. For those of you who kind of get up a little bit later, you can always listen to Nicole Marie mid-show between 7 and 7:30 here on the broadcast. She'll be back with us on Tuesday as well, so we're real happy about that. And Keisha, I hope you'll be back with us next week. We loved having you this week. You just killed it.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
I love you.
Yeah,
back.
You
Thank
did.
You for having me.
Yeah, you did a great job. We learned a lot, like Michael said. You brought it. You're able to kind of, you talked a little bit about our hot topics during the week. You listened in to some wonderful interviews. And you do something that's very special for me because you're able to hear the hair talk from so many guests who've been on our show, and pick out some wonderful parts to the the stylists or the companies, the product folks are on, or the hair people talking about. And I love that because a lot of times the fans need clarification or need someone to expound on certain points. And so I love that you're able to really pay close attention and draw out those points for the fans of the broadcast. So that's something that is unique to you. You're in your lane on our show. So great job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you. I love it. I love what I do. Definitely.